I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, it's a 98.5 KTK Morning Show recap. Oh, we are back on a Monday. What is it, the 8th of July,
yeah,
2019. And here's what we kind of discussed. Things that we talked about this morning on the show. Found out about half of our employees eat unhealthy at work. A new report found that over half of U.S. workers said that they have trouble eating healthy on the job. They say 77% said that eating healthier on the job would help them make better eating decisions outside the workplace. 91% reporting that they would eat healthier during lunch at work, or they want to eat healthier lunch during work. But only 35% said that they consume unhealthy foods at work when feeling stressed.
I admit, part of the reason I don't eat healthy is because I'm lazy, and I know that about myself. So I do think that if, like, for example, when I go to Starbucks, if the food is there, the prepackaged kit with, like, the grapes and the cheese and the eggs,
right,
I'll buy those instead of going to McDonald's. I like it ready. And so when you're at work, it's a snack machine, chips or chocolate.
Well, that's true. You're also kind of on a time crunch as well. And it also kind of leads to an interesting point that 68% of people said that they would want help from their employer on getting healthier eating habits. It's interesting because I do run the snack machine here. Mm-hmm. And in the past, we have had healthier, like trail mix, mm-hmm, raisins, you know, stuff that can kind of hang out in the vending machine a little while without going too bad.
Sure.
And by far, it was always the candy bars that were sold.
What's the number one seller now?
Right now, it's Oreos.
Wow.
Those are the number one sellers. Probably least liked is the peanut butter Nutter Butters.
Nutter Butters, really?
Yeah, those are the least liked for some reason. We found out when it comes to chili, those hot chilies, don't reach for a non-alcoholic beer, period, or water or seltzer when it's too hot. Reach instead for skim milk, whole milk, or even Kool-Aid.
How about that?
They say that
one threw me for a loop. I didn't know Kool-Aid was helpful.
Yeah, I didn't either, but Storm, you did bring up a good point. There's a lot of sweet and spicy foods that are out there.
Oh, yeah. They're hot sauces, too. There's a hot sauce called Micanopy Gold. We put the sweet with the heat is their motto, and it mitigates the hot by putting the sweet in there.
Yeah, so apparently they say that they theorize the Kool-Aid because it has so much sugar that's where it adds the sweetness, and it kind of makes it not as burn as
and
much.
It all has to do with how the ingredient in the hot peppers binds with the receptors in your tongue. Mm. And it tells them, hey, this is stingy, this is burny. And when you put in, it's got to be milk, can't be coconut milk. It's got to be mammal milk.
So like goat's milk, cow's milk, stuff like that.
So if you eat a hot pepper, two things, milk and put the toilet paper in the freezer. that's my advice.
You said that the first time around and I stayed quiet because my brain doesn't think that fast this early. But now, by now we've had a little while and I got it.
Well, you have a little time to put the toilet paper in the freezer.
That's what I'm saying.
About 15 hours or so.
Plan ahead.
Yeah, if you know what I mean.
I call my chili the 5-alarm burns twice chili.
Burns twice.
Yes. Oh, jeez.
Twice is nice. Our pets are getting fat. Not only fat, they're getting obese. This is actually a report found that 56% of dogs and 60% of cats are considered obese.
And the worst part about that, it's causing your animals to be uncomfortable with osteoarthritis. You're actually giving them a disease by making them obese.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why a lot of animals are euthanized as well, because when you have osteoarthritis, therefore it's damage to the joint tissue, and for dogs that have joint issue problems to begin with, like German Shepherds and stuff like that, you end up putting them down. And mainly it's because of poor diet. What they have found is that a dog is 2.3 times more likely to be diagnosed with osteoarthritis or OA if it's obese. Cats are about 1.2 times more likely if they're obese. They say that the problem is you can tell if your dog is obese is basically if they're sitting off to the side. Storm, you said the best, they're sitting on one hiney cheek.
One cheek, yeah. If they're one cheek. The only reason I'm on one cheek is to do the one cheek sneak, but that's a whole nother story.
Another segment. They say your dog avoids stairs or if it's uninterested in playing. They also say for cats, if they become manged or matted hair, that means that they're too fat basically to turn around and clean themselves.
I can't get back there to the undercarriage. I have to give my undercarriage a how's your father.
Yeah. for sure. So what they're saying is go talk to your vet. A lot of times just switching the diet will take care of the osteoarthritis and maybe cut them a little bit on the weight.
So there is a cure for that obesity.
Yes.
It's not eating so much.
That's it in a nutshell. Well, let's see. We found out about the art of the apology. And basically, this is making an excuse for getting out of something. For instance, if you're late to work, if you forgot about an appointment, or as you get older, well, you just really don't want to go out on a Saturday night, even though your friends are begging you to go because it's like, I'm comfy. So the idea is just for you to be honest. They say if long as it's a plausible excuse and the result is out of your control, it's kind of so socially acceptable.
That's the gray area about the hangover because we were exploring on the air. Can you use a hangover as an excuse? Because if you're being honest.
Yeah, like you said, I think you can probably get away with it one time.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe twice. After that, you're going to have
other problems. Yeah, you know, you can't be like, oh, I'm really sorry. I have a hangover again every single Monday. That's not going to work.
Yeah, it really isn't. But they give you kind of an excuse, as they say, your intention, truthful or not, needs to be honorable, and that your intention really was morally adequate, but something beyond your control prevented you from transitioning it into action.
So the dog ate my alarm clock.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But, you know, that's a great excuse. I know a lot of people sometimes use, like, family members being sick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm caring for somebody.
Right.
Well,
right.
If you're out, your boss run into that family member, you're busted in a lie. Yeah, you know, right. It's kind of like it makes no sense versus you just saying, look, I don't feel like working today. I don't think I'm going to be up to my best, and it's going to be a waste of the company's time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to take a personal day off.
Yeah, you call in using your golf announcer voice. I'm sorry, I can't come in today. And then there's a picture of you on Instagram. I'm at the theme park.
Right.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Don't
you got to
be
careful with that.
Don't be stupid.
Sure.
We also found out that for some reason or another, hospitals are more dangerous in July. There's actually been a coalition, something that's called the July effect, that mortality rates are higher in many hospitals this month out of any other month in the year, and they are trying to figure it out. They think one of the reasons is for staffing changes.
Yeah, this is actually when the interns come in, too, the new residents.
The new residents, the new staff members generally. A lot of the schools start in August, but for medical residency, it starts July 1st. So therefore, you got that transition change. Anytime you move into a new system, of course, things are going to slip through the cracks. Problems are going to happen. Hate to say that it involves somebody's life, but that's kind of what it is. It really comes down to it. They say that big staffing changes can be kind of a problem, and hospitals are aware of this. They say that a lot of the hospitals where this is more apt to be in teaching hospitals actually do schedule a little bit more time getting the newbies on track as to what they need to do.
Yeah, because they say the July effect specifically applies to teaching hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They say you as a patient or a loved one of a patient should also ask a lot of questions to make sure you understand what is going on and why, that if you have a new person come in that doesn't quite give you the same information, you're able to kind of ask them why. They also say, although a lot of the residents are transitioning, most of the nursing staff and medical professionals are still there. So kind of lean on them as well. They know a lot. And then they say, keep in mind that the July effect specifically applies mostly to teaching hospitals. That's not to say, though, that that's a bad thing. In fact, they say teacher hospitals actually are generally better than regular hospitals. So even if there's a little bit of a decrease, it's not as severe as if you were at another hospital.
And like y'all both said, I mean, you'll have the charge nurse and the rest of the nursing staff there that they're very experienced almost always.
Yeah.
So
ask
especially
a nurse.
In this case, when you don't have... When you have other staff changing out, they're going to make sure that it's staffed right.
Nurses are running the hospitals. Thank
goodness.
That's
true.
I was going to say I love doctors. Regular doctor is really good at this. But like when I've been in emergency rooms a couple times, where they speak and doctors speak, where I don't understand what's going on, and really the nurse comes around, it's like, you have any questions? Yeah, what did he just say? What did she just say?
Will this information be available in English?
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of like they're the ones that kind of to normalize it in language that I understand. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense now.
Yep.
Why be in the middle of a fight? Why have your family hate you because you assign chores? Why not have an artificial intelligence do it for you?
Yeah, put Alexa in the way.
Yeah, it's not me, it's the machine.
Blame it on Alexa.
Alexa actually has a skill set. It's called it's actually a page you go to. It's called Alexa Skills Blueprints. And it's where you can actually, it's kind of this big template where you can insert names and chores, one of them being chores. And then basically Alexa will handle all the chore divvying out. And in essence, they kind of make it a game out of it where you can put in your own chores, or you can go from the list of stuff, put in a timeline, put all those variables in. And then Alexa will go ahead and assign it by you saying, Alexa, open chore chart. And boom, 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 there go all the assignments. The best part about that is that you can, whoever's doing the chores can lock it as being done. So therefore, you get the stats, how long it took you to do it, and blah, blah, blah. And they say that this actually works for kids and grown-ups because you're keeping emotion out of the core, the chore delegation process.
Yeah, it's like, it's not fair. You always pick on me. It wasn't me. It was Alexa, and she was doing it. She's a computer, you know.
That's right. And plus, it kind of makes it like a game. So in essence, right. It makes chores a little fun, if you want to call it that.
I found one skill called Nag My Kids.
I love that one.
It was
one.
Under
yeah,
this
that's
whole
the
chore
one.
Thing. Oh, yeah. Not
yeah,
me.
And you were saying there are a lot of templates for chores in particular.
Unbelievable amount, yeah. Kids, nighttime chores. Aha, you hear about that, kids?
Nighttime chores.
Yeah, that's the latest thing. So you watch your little butt.
That's right.
Butt.
Coming up here, or rather, that's our show for today, Monday, July 8th. Of course, we're live Monday through Friday between 5 and 10 on 98.5 KTK and on the radio.com app.
ABC, yeah.
Bye, have a great day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.